taken me over. You have won my heart. When my hands stretch out towards the sky,
morning. It's come time to go ahead and get started. We want to get started this morning. We want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. Got something the Lord's put on my heart that I want to start this morning, so we're going to sort of get kind of right into it a little bit. But before we do, I'm going to ask you to stand at your feet. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's open it up with prayer. I know there's a lot of people that need prayer and things of that nature. We want to remember all that. God knows every need, every circumstance, every situation. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray for the service. We're having a baptism again this morning. And, you know, the thing about having a baptism, we thank God for that. But you know, Matt, that means somebody's give their life to the Lord. And so let's continue to pray for that, Brother Joe, as we go to the Lord in prayer, that if there's someone here this morning, they'll hear the gospel and be saved. Amen. You care to lead us, Brother Joe? Amen. We want to welcome you, like I said, in the name of the Lord. Lord put something on my heart that we're going to start out this morning with four topics in specific. And we've been doing This Generation Speaks and everything, and I just kind of feel led to go this direction. So the four topics we're going to talk about, the Lord put on my heart page, is about building hedges. And, you know, as Christians, how many of you know that the adversary's job is to steal, kill, and destroy? And that he'll do that. Every chance he gets, he's going to do that. But also, we're not powerless or hopeless against his schemes. You know, one of the biggest blessings we have in our lives as Christians is the Holy Spirit that lives and dwells inside of each of us. And that being said, the Holy Spirit can make us aware of the enemy's schemes and plans, and can show us how to thwart them. And so I believe wholeheartedly that when God gives a pastor a sermon or a preacher that comes in here and preaches, it's the word that we need to hear, Brother Joe. And so I've got to believe that this morning God wants us to hear this as well. But the four topics that I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to start this morning with one of them, is building hedges around your marriage, your mind, your finances, and your family. And all four of these topics, just feel led of the Lord to go into them. This morning we're going to start with marriage. Next week we'll go into the mind, and then so forth and so on. But I want to talk about something that is very important. In our society today, roughly 50-50, if you will, depends on what data you look at, put it that way. One has it a little bit under 50, one have it a little bit over 50, one have it significantly under 50. But in the United States of America, roughly half of all marriages end in divorce. Roughly half of all marriages end in divorce. And that being said, look, I understand there's certain situations, certain circumstances. We're not going to go all into that. God doesn't want anyone to be physically abused or anything like that. So we're not going to go into anything like that about divorce and stuff of that nature. But what the Lord has instructed me to do, and I feel led to do, is speaking about building hedges around your marriage. Okay? And we're going to talk about different things. About this, different responsibilities of the husband and the wife. Did I just say it? Different responsibilities of the husband and the wife. Okay? Because you know what, Pat? If we want to build our hedge around our marriage and we want the Lord to build the hedge and be part of the hedge, then we've got to be in alignment with His Word. So we're going to talk about that. So if we say something that makes you a little uncomfortable, if I say something that makes you pull your feet back, stepping on your toes or whatever, don't take it up with me. Take it up with God. Okay? We're going to talk about Scripture. Okay? But we're going to talk a little bit about hedge. What is a hedge for? Okay? Because that's what God put on my heart. A hedge is a proactive protection. A proactive protection. In other words, you don't build a hedge once the attack has already happened. You build the hedge to help thwart or help defend against the attack. So, in other words, a hedge is a proactive protection. It is not a reaction to a crisis, but a preventative measure to keep the marriage strong. So, if, in other words, what God is wanting to do is, yes, God wants to restore marriages. Yes, God wants to sustain marriages and all those things, but God wants your marriage not just to be running on fumes. He wants it to be strong. Does that make any sense? How many folks here, and look, everybody can raise their hand, how many folks here that are married or have been married before can say that marriage ain't always easy? If you ain't raising your hand, you're lying like a dog. Okay, and we'll go ahead and have an altar call right now and get you saved, and we'll dunk you up in this tank when the time comes. But the point being is marriage is not always easy, okay? It's a 50-50 thing. There's times when, you know what, you ain't very good to live with. And there's times that he or she might not be very good to live with. It is what it is, folks. We're people, okay? We're affected by different things. We got different jobs. We got different situations and pressures in our lives, trigger mechanisms from when we grew up and how we've seen people respond, and all those things are built into everybody. And ready for this? This is something I say about ministry. Ministry is messy. And you know why it's messy? Because people are involved in ministry. And people are messy. Everybody is messy. So if you think anybody's got it together, you're fooling yourself. You are not alone when I'm talking about this. Me and Tara don't have it all together. Pastor and Kelly don't have it all together. Nobody's got it all together, okay? Everybody has their own situations and circumstances that they struggle with, amen? So that being said, I want to talk a little bit about a hedge. If you were going to build a hedge, anybody know what a hedge is? Look at that picture up there. Nature's privacy fence, or nature's barrier, okay, if you will. Point being, if you as an animal and you were seeking to get in somewhere, that would provide a formidable defense. That animal is going to try to look for an opening in the hedge before it can come in. In other words, if a sheep is in grazing inside the hedge, it's not going to be as easy for that wolf to come and snatch one and take it off and feed on it. In other words, it's got to find the opening in the hedge. Can I tell you something right now? The Bible tells us that the adversary is a wolf. And each one of us are what? Sheep. And we need the Lord at the door to protect us. Amen? Well, can I tell you something right now? Your marriage is intended to be a hedge around your family. Plain and simple. If there's children in that home, can I tell you what God wants to happen? God wants to destroy your marriage, the devil wants to destroy your marriage because he can disrupt all those lives that's involved with that. Children, in-laws, parents, all those things, friends, neighbors, loved ones, all those things that he can destroy if he tears the marriage down. I truly believe one of the biggest things that the adversary began doing, probably in the 50s to 60s in this country, Bubby, was to attack the home, attack the marriage. Because if you could tear down the marriage, we talk about a godless society. Can I tell you right now, it's no coincidence that as divorces skyrocketed, church attendances went down. It's not a coincidence. The adversary intentionally attacks marriages. That being said, the first thing you got to do if you want to have a good protective hedge is to have soil. Good soil. Pearl, you like to garden, don't you? Are you going to do it in bad soil? So much harder, isn't it? I'm not saying it can't be done, but you got to add nutrients. You got to get rock. It's so rocky. It's just one thing after another. And let's just be honest. Sometimes it's too bad you can't make nothing grow there, no matter what you do. So you've got to have good soil, okay? If you're going to have a hedge, it's got to be in good soil, plain and simple. And so what we're going to do to begin with is, you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 20. We're going to talk about something here, beginning with the good soil. If we're going to build a hedge about our marriages, every single person in here, if we're going to have that hedge about our marriage, let's see what the Bible says marriage is supposed to be. Amen? Because here's the good thing about it. It doesn't matter. Ooh. Don't throw rocks at me. It don't matter what my definition of marriage is. I can give you an opinion. But God's definition of marriage is what I've got to live up to. God's definition of marriage is what Tara has to live up to. God's definition of marriage is what you must live up to. And if we want to have a protective hedge around our marriage, then we've got to be in alignment with the Word of God. Amen? But you're going to hear some terms that you might not like too much, okay, as we talk about this, because they're not cool for this generation. They're not acceptable, thank you, Leanne, for some people. They sound weak and all those things. God's word's not weak. God's word's strength. So as we go in this, if you hear something that makes you bite your lip, and let me get to the end of it, okay? Okay? Just bite your lip a little bit. I promise it's going to get better. Listen, Genesis chapter 20, verses 20 through 24, the scripture says this in the English Standard Version. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. Chapter 2, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Chapter 2, verse 20. Thank you. Well, you know what that tells me? Praise God, you got your Bibles ready. 2:20, my bad. 2:20. We're speaking about Adam and naming the beast of the field, and going to get to basically the birth of Eve, okay? The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he was asleep, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, This is last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. You can be seated. Thank you, Leanne. So God himself recognized that Adam needed a help, a helper. So in other words, if God knew Adam needed a helper, so that's pretty safe to say Adam needed a helper. Beautiful looking crowd, by the way. Praise God for you. But God recognized he needs a helper. a helper that is fit for him. The definition of a helper, by the way, literally means to aid him. In other words, Adam needed somebody to aid him. A helper aids somebody, okay? That being said, what is the definition of an aid? It is somebody to help, support, and assist somebody. Okay? So in other words, when God looked out and he's seen all of creation, he's seen two of everything, Pearl, but there wasn't two likened unto Adam. Adam was alone. Adam was by himself. Adam names all the animals, but then he gets to the end and he probably looks around and goes, ain't nobody like me here. And I've got to imagine, men, like I said, I'm gonna use my authority in the pulpit today that God's gave me. I ain't got no authority. Men, God gave her to us because we needed her. He was alone. He needed help, not just physical help, because his job was to tend to the garden. He needed mental help. He needed emotional support. He needed to be aided in all aspects. So when God sees that Adam is created like he is and all these other animals, he recognizes Adam's not complete. Adam can't be complete on his own. So men, when we begin to go down the road, and we're going to get there, women, you're going to be submitting here in a minute. When God begins to look upon his creation, the first need that he sees is Adam can't do it on his own. Men, can I tell you something right now? You can get caught up in thinking, I've got to do this, I've got to be this, I've got to do this, I've got to be the man of the house, I've got to raise the children, I've got to take care of this, I've got to take care of that. I've got to be John Wayne. That's the best way to say it. But even God recognized you can't do it on your own. You needed a help. You needed an aid. You needed support. You needed somebody that could, what? Help you. Because you couldn't do it on your own. Now that word aid, when you get into it, when you get down into it, it means he corresponded. She corresponded with him. That's a good thing, because you know what correspondence means? Equality. So when all those people are talking about the husbands at the head of the household, and guess what? We're getting there. She is equal with him. The rib was taken from Adam's side, not his back. She is equal with Adam. God recognized that he needed a help. He needed a correspondence that would be equal to him. Can I tell you what you do if you correspond with somebody? What do? You communicate with them. One of the biggest issues in a marriage today is communication. Communication. If you want to build a lasting hedge around your marriage, then God has put you two together. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. For this cause, a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife, and they two become one flesh. On the wedding night, guess what takes place? There's a consummation, and those two become one flesh in the eyes of God. And when those two now have become one flesh, what hurts Tara hurts Teddy Dean. What hurts Teddy Dean hurts Tara. If somebody at work does something to hurt me, she's going to respond, and vice versa. Why? Because we're no longer in this thing all by ourselves, Bubby. Bubby and Tammy are together. God's plan, God's design, because Adam, ready for this? Men, couldn't do it on his own. That being said, you don't have to feel like you should have to do it on your own. That's what I want you to know. God, when he's talking about marriage, his intention is for you two to be equally yoked together. So if you want to begin to build a hedge around your marriage, you've got to come to the realization of what God intended marriage to be all along. And that is, ready for this? Me and Tara communicating every single day. She tells me what's bothering her. I tell her what's bothering me. No communication is off limits. We don't keep secrets from one another. Ready for that? You know what a secret is? Secret's a cancer. A secret in a marriage is a cancer. And what's cancer do, Pearl? It eats something from the inside out. I hate cancer. So in other words, you don't keep things from your spouse, ever. There's never a reason, unless it's a 40th birthday surprise party that Tara kept for me about 8-9 years ago. Some of you folks remember that, me coming in and being totally oblivious. I thought we were coming in having prayer with Eva and Leanne and Lisa and all them people. Show up, there's all kinds of cars parked outside. I'm thinking, whoa, boy, we're going to have some prayer. Man, they some people struggling, or they some people need saved or something. Come in here, surprise! She got me good. But unless you're doing something along that line, you don't keep something from one another, amen? So Adam, knowing all these things, don't you think that him and Eve started getting close to one another? Don't you think he shared with her? Don't you think she shared with him? Amen. So if you want to have a strong marriage, you want to have a hedge about your marriage, if you want to have that good soil that you've got to have for it to grow and thrive, ready for this? You're going to be equal with one another, you're corresponding with each other, you're communicating, and you ain't keeping no secrets. And that means Facebook, text messages, and whatever else you want to chit-chat, tick-tock it up. For your society today, there's no secrets in marriage at all. If I'm going to do something and I think it should offend her, then I should pull back from doing it. If she's going to do something and thinks it's going to bother me, then she's got to pull back and do it. Because the marriage comes first. If you don't put your marriage first, who's going to? Okay. Women, pull your feet back. Next scripture says this. You're going to build a pearl all the time, because I know Pearl grows a really good garden. I've eaten the fruit of her garden. Thankful for the fruit of her garden. But when you begin to build a row of hedges, if you will, you know one bush is not a hedge. You've got to have multiple bushes that line up to build the hedge, amen? So what will happen when they begin to decide they're going to build a hedge somewhere, they'll dig a trench. So in other words, they don't dig a hole and plant one. Come over here, dig a hole, plant one. Come over here, dig a hole, plant one. Dig a trench. Why do they do that? Because you've got to till the soil. If you build a trench and then systematically plant one here, guess what you've done? You loosen up the soil all in between it. And ready for this? The root system can begin to intertwine with one another. Can I tell you something right now? We want a strong marriage. Those roots have to intertwine with one another. She brought baggage to the marriage. I brought baggage to the marriage. We've got to be willing to lay that baggage down and pick each other. If you've ever been in a situation in marriage, especially early on, I believe there's a situation a lot of times, you're going to come into circumstances inevitably to where you've got to pick her and she's got to pick you. You ever been there? Maybe if you ain't, God bless you if you ain't. But there's going to inevitably come a time that that's going to happen. That being said, it's important that your roots be intertwined with one another so that you could grow up strong with one another. In Ephesians 5, it says this, verse 22 through 24 specifically. You don't have to stand up. Women, like I said, pull your toes back. If you're a big person into women's rights, and I do believe women have rights, if you're one of those people that go off to the deep end and believe that a woman's rights should supersede a man's rights, just saying, or anybody else's rights, we all should have equal rights. But the point being is, if this word offends you, don't take it up with me, take it up with God. Okay? Because I know there's a lot of people that don't like to hear this word. This scripture they want to take out because it ain't convenient for them. Maybe they ain't been living up to it. Oh, my, my. Now, ready for this, husbands? Don't be grinning. Don't be grinning, because you're next. You got, and I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just going to give you a spoiler alert. your responsibility is far greater than hers. Far, far greater than hers. But it says this in Ephesians 5, 22 through 24, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Submit yourselves. We have a hard time with that one, don't we? Because submission ain't easy. When you're lost and undone without Jesus Christ, you got to come to a point in time you're lost. You need to submit to him. You can't save yourself. So you have to be willing to submit and accept that Jesus is the only way, Pat, as you preached several weeks ago. So submitting ain't always easy, because you know what rises up against submission every single time? Pride. Pride rises up against submission every single time. I submit. It means they're better than me? No, that ain't what this scripture means, by the way. At all. That's not what this scripture means. Because can I tell you something, men and wives? She's submitting to me not because I'm better than her. She's submitting to me because she's honoring God's word. And she recognizes God is a God of order. And God is a God of structure. You got something? I see you. Brother Dave, you care to put that umbrella picture up here for me, brother? I'd greatly appreciate it. Before a tomato gets close to my head. There you go. Look at that picture. It's one of my favorite things. When Tara and I go through CAMS, and anybody goes through CAMS, they'll kind of walk you down this path and things of that nature. CAMS, by the way, is a ministry step in the Church of God for you to get your exhorter's license. But I want you to look at this umbrella right here. The top umbrella is Christ. The second umbrella is the husband. The husband's job is protect the family, lead the family, provide for the family. Ready for this, men? You are to protect the family, lead the family, provide for the family. Men, can't be lazy. In our society today, you can't be lazy. Get off your hind ends and get a job. I'm a straight shooter. If you're able. You're supposed to protect the family. Can I tell you something right now? Me and Tara was asleep one time. And has anybody ever had the closet rods to break in your closet? And you know how your clothes will boom. Well, we were sound asleep one night, in the middle of the night. You hear a God-awful noise. And I'm a pretty sound sleeper. Tara will tell you that. I'm one of those people that when I go to sleep, I go to sleep fairly quickly, and I sleep very soundly. But looking back at it now, as soon as the noise happened, I don't know how my back left the mattress, but I felt like my feet were running before I hit the floor. And I go running through the house thinking something's through the house before we realize it was in our own bedroom. But there should be an instinct in every husband to protect his family and protect his wife. It's just your job, okay? It's your job. If anybody would come through this door right now and try to attack Tara, they would have to go through Teddy Dean to do it. I'm going to protect her. Why am I protecting her? Because I love her. Because God gave her to me. If somebody tries to harm her, then I'm going to step in and make sure that does not happen. That is my job as a husband. And I do not take it lightly. And ready for this? I ain't afraid to bite. You're supposed to laugh, but I guess you didn't find it funny either. You biters too, ain't you? But also, ready for this? Protect the family, and probably the most important, lead the family. And how do you lead the family correctly? Through Christ. Can I tell you something right now, husbands? I promise, I've done it both ways. Your fathers and husbands, I've done it both ways. It's impossible for us to lead without being followers of Jesus Christ. You're just not going to do it. Pride's going to get in the way. Frustration's going to get in the way. Anger's going to get in the way. All those things are going to move in, and it's just going to be an impossible thing to overcome. Wives, you've got to be the comfort, the nurturer, and the teacher of the family. So in other words, who are you nurturing? What's that next umbrella? The children. Who are you teaching? Who are you comforting? The children. Can I tell you something right now? A good mother. If you had a good mother, you were blessed. Because there are children that don't even have one. If God blessed you with a good mother, you were blessed. Someone that comforted you, that taught you, that nurtured you. Because if you was a kid of the 80s, born in the 70s like I was, Gen X, they want a lot of nurturing coming from the dad. It's true. That's the way it was. My dad told me he loved me. But when I fell down and got hurt, I was told suck it up. But Mom never told me suck it up. Kids need both. They need both. My children today, they look at both of us in different ways. Dad's an old-fashioned dinosaur because I can't do technology very well. Just the truth. They can talk to Mom because Mom talked to them years ago. They're now getting to the point they can talk to Dad. Okay, because they got things in common with Dad now. I've got three boys. But during that time period in their life, they needed a mother. And I thank God for the mother that they had every day. And the children are to love the parents and obey the parents. And the children are to love the parents and obey the parents. This is God's design. This is God's will. This is God's alignment. If your children ain't being obedient, you have a responsibility as a parent, as a mother, and as a father to bring them into obedience. Plain and simple. In other words, don't let your kid be hoodlums. And you ready for this? If you have to, take your belt off and bust their hind ends. In a loving way, of course. We don't believe in abuse. I had three sons, and I can tell you right now, every single one of them saw a belt. And every single one of them knew why they were being disciplined. And every single one of them knew when it was over, Joe, that we still loved them. We were just teaching them, plain and simple. So when these people tell you, don't whoop your kids because somebody will call CBS, whatever it is, bull hockey. It's your job as the parent to discipline that child. Plain and simple, because ain't nobody else going to do it. It's just the way it is, okay? But children are to obey the parents. And ready for this? That's a lifelong thing. I love your parents that obey them. It's tough sometimes when you can be older. But you honor them. It's what you do. Amen, Bub? Up until your daddy passed away, we'd go visit with Bubby and his daddy, and you could see the honor that Bubby had for his dad. It's something I noticed right away, Joe. I thank God for it every time I was leaving Bubby that I saw it. I saw honor. I saw obedience. I saw the way God intended it to be. But wives, you are to submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So you're submitting to him as unto the Lord. You're not submitting to him because he's better than you. You're not submitting to him because he's stronger than you or he's smarter than you. You're not doing that. You're submitting to God as unto the Lord. Plain and simple. Why? Because you have to be in alignment with what God's doing. Can I tell you folks right now? God is not the author of confusion. That's the scripture. God is not the author of confusion. And you ready for this? Wives, by doing this, by coming into alignment and submitting yourself, you're teaching your children the godly structure and the godly order. If you don't do it now, you'll raise children that won't do it either. That's just the way it is. And what you've done is you have literally plucked a hedge or two away from that a bush or two away from that hedge, and you've allowed the adversary an opportunity later on to come in against your marriage and against the marriage of your children later on in life. So wives, you submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, not because he's better than you or smarter than you or you're the weaker person mentally, physically. It has nothing to do with that. You just recognize, just like I do as a Christian, Lord, I can't make it on my own. I need you. I need you covering me every which way, frontwards, backwards, and on all sides, because I know the adversary is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and if he could take me out, he'll take me out. So God, I want to be in alignment with you. So whatever I got to do, I'm going to do it. That's what wives must do. For God is not the author of confusion. Isaiah 60, verse 22 says, I am the Lord, and in its time I will hasten it. Genesis 15:15 says this, As for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. And Jesus said in Luke 21:24, Jesus said, till the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Why did I read you those scriptures? Because with every single example of those scriptures, it tells me that God is a God of order and structure. Order and structure matters. As Brother Pat preached here a couple weeks ago, and we had five people saved, and he preached on Genesis 1 and how God said, let there be light, and he brought up he done such a wonderful job. I truly enjoyed that sermon, but he brought up how the seed had to come before the fruit, how the water had to come before this, how to do it, because God is the God of order and structure. He's not the author of confusion. So anytime you see a situation in a church or in a home where there's confusion, where there's division, guess what? God is not creating that. That's the devil. So God is the God of order and structure. Why do wives do these things? Because they're coming into alignment with God. That's it. God's word. You're not weaker. Matter of fact, I think you're pretty darn strong if you're willing to do that. Tara? Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen. For you guys that didn't hear that back there, because I know you probably couldn't with the rain, submission is a choice. You have the option to submit or not. Does that make you weak? No, you have the option to submit or not. If you choose not to submit, you choose not to submit. Okay? But that's a position of strength, not a position of weakness. You have a choice to do that. That's what she would say. You're doing this to come under alignment with the Word of God. That's what you're doing. Next, husbands. Husbands. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of this. Ephesians 5:25-27 says this. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, wives, we've just talked a little bit about you coming into alignment. That's what we've spoken about. That's a position of strength. How Adam and Eve were equally yoked together, corresponding one another, helping one another, aiding one another, communicating with one another. Husbands, your responsibility is grave and it's important. Please listen up. You must love her like Christ loved the church. Don't just say that. Be that. What did Christ do for the church? Pat, what did he do for it? He bled and he died for it. He was born to do that. He gave things up to do that. It would have been convenient not to go to Calvary. It would have been a lot easier to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane and not have your sweat become as great drops of blood, wouldn't it, Bubby? It'd been easier just to go, you know what? I ain't going to do this. There's going to be millions that won't even receive this, Father. There's going to be millions that just say no on every altar call that's given. But no, he didn't do that. Jesus loved you so much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the type of love that God requires the husband to have for the wife. That's the kind of sacrifice that the husband must make for the wife. How do you sacrifice? You sacrifice every day by providing for the family. You sacrifice every day for, ready for this? Helping her with chores. If you're allergic to a broom, go get a pill from a doctor. You don't know how to mop, shame on you. They got these nice little mops now. Tara bought one. You just stick that thing on there, you just do this right here, and it just rings that thing out. It's a pretty cool thing. I don't even know what it's called. You don't even have to bend over. You're just doing this right here. Like, man, that is cool. Remember having to wring them things out, you know. Then having to empty the mop water every so often because it's filthy. Look, my mommy taught me that. Tara didn't have to. Okay? Don't be allergic to helping around the house. Christ loved the church. He done for the church. He sacrificed for the church. He put the church above himself. Husbands, we're required to put her above ours. Oh man, some of these daddies need to hear this. Some of you husbands need to hear this. We live in a society today that if something happens, people think they can shirk responsibilities. And because we live in that society today, when that happens, the law has to step in and make someone do this or make someone do that. Make a father take care of his children or provide for his children when a marriage don't work out. Dads, it's your responsibility to care for your children. Provide for your children, to love your children, and ready for this, to discipline your children. My dad told me when I was young, never forget it. Son, get your bluff on them when they're young. Then you won't have to worry about it when they get older. It's a father's responsibility to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, to lead the household like he's supposed to, but to step in and discipline, and ready for this, to back up the mother, because what she says is law in the house. Man, I didn't know I was going down this path. What I mean by that is this. I have a grandson, Luke. Me and Tara and Luke and Lucy was at the house Friday evening. And Luke's getting ready to turn 4, Lord willing, next Saturday. Be 4 years old. And I heard Miss Kayla talk about her little boy who's roughly Luke's age. And talk about how they can be little teenagers at that age with what they want and the demands that they make and all those things. Because their little minds are just trying to figure things out at that age. And, you know, you'll tell them to do something, they'll say no or whatever. Well, you got to straighten that out so that no disappears. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, we were there in the living room, whatever we were doing, and Tara told Luke to do something, and Luke barked back at Tara. That didn't go good with Teddy Dean. I shot up out of the seat and went over and took care of matters because I'm not letting him disrespect her. On the same page as her. Husbands, you must be on the same page as your wife. Her advice matters. And ready for this? I've learned in my marriage, her advice is valuable. I'll go ahead and tell you this. I get it how many times that me and her has been in a situation, and I ain't even talking about ministry. We've been in a situation that we'll be leaving, just me and her together, and she'll say something like, "Something don't feel right about this, Ted." Usually right. Listen to your helpmate. Pay attention to your helpmate. You both have a responsibility to do. Finally, for time's sake, I'll get to the last part. There's benefits of a good hedge. A hedge will protect. A hedge will take care. Husbands, you have a responsibility. Wives, you have a responsibility. It's supposed to be equal, corresponding with one another. In other words, she completes me, I complete her. All those things, you say, well, that sounds sappy. Well, guess what? That's what's supposed to be. Okay? But there's benefits to that strong marriage, and there's benefits to that hedge around that marriage. And it says this, and it's always read in a marriage ceremony, if you will. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they'll have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand them. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. How many folks here can kind of put that into context along the lines of, now all of a sudden, if I brought you a simple string or a piece of twine out here, if you're strong enough, you can just kind of just grab that thing and break it apart. I could give you three of the exact same ones, and you could do that, Bubby. But I put those three together, and I intertwine them. Can't pull them apart no more. A threefold strand is not easily broken. And you notice it says threefold. I mean, you're sitting there thinking, well, my goodness, who's the third person in my marriage? It better be the Lord. It better be the Lord. Historically, the colors that this was gold, purple or scarlet, and white. Gold represented the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Scarlet or purple was the husband, and the bride was the white one. And when those three were intertwined, it was an unbeatable force. I tell you something right now, if you want to have a hedge of protection around your marriage, wives, you'll come into alignment with God's word. Husbands, you'll love her like Christ loved the church. They'll be helping, there'll be equalness, there'll be cohesion, there'll be correspondence, there'll be aid, there'll be all those things. And then what'll happen is this, that threefold strand will be tightly wound. When the adversary comes against it, he may pull, he may tug. And you know what, Jeremiah, sometimes in our life, one rope might fray a little bit, but they don't break. Because God is at the head. The husband and the wife are in complete alignment with that. And can I tell you something else that you gain? And I just love this one, because when I was younger, I didn't show emotion too much. And I'll be honest with you, outside of church, I don't really do it either too much. My grandbabies have kind of melted my heart a little bit. I ain't going to lie to you about that. They've kind of softened me around the edges a little bit. But something else that a strong marriage provides is this right here, this scripture. And I couldn't not read this scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Love does not insist on its own way. You do it my way. No, love compromises. The husband compromises to the wife. The wife compromises to the husband. They find common ground. It is not irritable or resentful. The NIV, matter of fact, says it keeps no record of wrongs. True love keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. God wants you to have a hedge around your marriage. God wants you to not only be what she needs and be what he needs with God at the center, but when you do that, he's going to give you something that nobody else can. You're going to experience a love within that marriage that you didn't even think was humanly possible. Because can I tell you something right now? If you're blessed enough to have known your wife when you was younger and you're still with her, this is what I say. I didn't know this when I was younger. Young love is great. Man, it's good. But old love is better. You can look back and say, God brought us through that. I would have never made it without her then. I'd have never made it without him there. You begin to realize that God was at the center of it all. Your marriage is supposed to be strong. You can't do it by yourself, and you definitely can't do it without God. If you want the hedge to be strong, then follow the Word of God. Get in alignment with the Scripture, and don't let anybody, including the devil, stop you. God bless you.